Greetings this morning, each one of you, in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Say amen to the thoughts we've already heard. Brother Moses there and his greetings, Apostle Paul, I had to think of Peter there. I think he says, mercy and grace be multiplied unto you by the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. Just another word, multiplied. Yeah, so amen to what we've already heard. Amen to the hymns we've sang. It's been a tremendous blessing here this morning. I think and reflect on some of the hymns we sang. Are you longing for the fullness? I think 660 someone chose this morning. Are we? Are we longing for the fullness? The completeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. His work in our life. His work in my life. What's my desire this morning? What's my passion this morning? And we had someone in prayer prayed that this morning as well. It just blessed me. It blessed me tremendously. We serve a God that wants to restore relationships. Thinking about, thank you, Brother Luke, for that message this morning. You actually used one of my scripture verses. And thank God maybe I had his heart in this thing. I trust. I think we have confidence in that. But God, we have a God that wants to restore relationship and he wants reconciliation, but he doesn't want compromise. It's about fullness, completeness. It's about all about him, his glory. And we are to be expression of his glory. And that's what he created man for. It's the purpose of man this morning. So blessed to be here this morning. Blessed to be in your midst. May God be glorified in all. As we sang those some of those hymns, and just the human lifted up into the divine nature. I guess that's where I was thinking about restoration. That phrase, restoration. Man's being restored unto God, such a beautiful way. So yeah, maybe if we could, we could have a word of prayer. I feel a little needy this morning. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father in heaven, come before you this morning, Lord, all-knowing, eternal God. Father, you are, I trust, most precious in each one of our eyes. We know that we are precious in your eyes, so Lord, we just pray that we can reciprocate that unto you. We can behold your glory. Father, help us this morning as we look into your word and help us to see what you want us to see, to hear what you want us to hear. Help us to say what you want us to say. And Father, that it would be to your honor and your glory. Father, we need you here this morning. Father, you know the needs of each one of our hearts. You know my own needs, Lord. And we just pray, Father, you can have your way in this service today. We ask for your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'll just share my title this morning, A Passion to Run the Race. So I thought our opening there, and I so appreciate some of the things you brought out about throwing the weights and the weights that are, I mean, those are some serious things to think about. This race that we're running, we run it with patience. It's eternity for us. It's the eternal destination of our souls, each one of us. It's not something to take lightly. It's a race to be run. So I'd like to turn to, I think to start out here, I'm going to turn to a chapter in Psalms. I'd like to read a Psalms. I had a brother text me a Psalm this morning. Very encouraged by it. I'd just like to read the whole chapter first. Psalms 40. And the title of that chapter, my Bible says, A Delight to Do God's Will. I'd just like to, there's a little, maybe another little meditation here. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my foot again upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid my righteousness within my heart, thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about, and mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a word of their shame, and say unto me, Aha, aha. Let those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as I love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. It's a beautiful song. Praise and glory to God. A delight to live in the presence of God and to feel and to feel and experience His mercies and His loving kindness. Okay, well, I think I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians and read a few verses here. If we would, maybe we can turn our Bibles there. And I'm going to focus on a couple of verses there, and then we'll go to Philippians. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 and 27. Verse 24. Know ye not that which run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an uncorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We'll come back to those verses, but I'd also like to turn to Philippians, if we would. Philippians 3. Pulling these a little bit out of context, but I don't think we're... 3:14. Maybe we'll start with 13 there. It says, Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and in it, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. We could go on there. My heart this morning is that we could stir our hearts. You know, when we think about a passion to run a race, and we run a race, we have to have some things set right at the beginning. I trust, and that is acknowledging and bringing Christ, Jesus Christ, into our life, repenting and becoming baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so, in this, as people that have accepted God and have accepted Jesus Christ, His Son, that we go forth. But yet we live in a world, and the pressures all around us are pressing in. They're pressing in, and they're affecting us. Even if we know that they shouldn't be affecting us, and we know the things that affect us, they still affect us. And they're pressing in on us on every side. And so we get distractions. We live in a country where we have plenty of everything. Pretty much, or we have historically. I mean, we have food, and we live in comfort, and we get almost anything we want, so to speak. And so those are the pressures that are pressing in on us, and it's easy for us just to take the easy path. And I wonder where our passions are this morning. And I'll get into passions a little bit later, what a passion is. I know the Scripture talks about passion. I think in the New Testament it's mentioned three times, and it talks about passions as being, in Acts it talks about the suffering of Christ being the passions of Christ, and then it also refers to the like passions, which would be similar feelings and similar temptations, you might say, in this context. But today it's going to be, I'm going to use passion in a little different way, and I'll get to that later. But if we would, I just want to look at this as when we have a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit, there's life, right? What do you get when you get life? It grows, and it expresses itself. You even take a plant and you see a plant growing, and not only is it growing above ground, but we don't even understand what's all happening underground. But it's growing underground just as much. And it actually put the little roots put out these things called extradates. And these extradates are attracted by mycorrhiza and all these other little fungi and bacteria that come, and it develops another whole network of things. Amazing things happen when there's life. And I think as Christians, as people that claim to hold to the truth of God, we have life. We claim to have life. Where's the expression of life? Is it there? These are questions I ask myself. These are things that I myself am challenged with when I look at that. And so, where's my passion this morning? Where's my excitement? I'm going to turn back to 1 Corinthians 9 here, and we're going to start in verse 24 there. Know ye not that which run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may run, so run that ye may obtain. So Apostle Paul here is talking about a race, and he mentions it a couple of times in the Scriptures about getting a crown and running a race and getting a crown. And so I'm going to like to give a little background history of Apostle Paul here. If we would turn, and you don't need to, I'll read a couple of verses here in Acts 16. I'm just going to set a little background here for Apostle. Acts 16, verse 9, it says, And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed unto him, saying, Come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord hath called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Then if we turn to chapter 18, I'll read these verses too. Verse 1 says, And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. So he was called into the country of Macedonia, and then at some point he found himself at Athens, and then he was called to go to, and then he traveled to Corinth. And then if we look at chapter 18, verse 9, it says, Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So, a little background there. Corinth was a huge city. It was a wicked city. And they had these games every 2 years called the Isthmian Games. And the Isthmian Games included things such as horse racing, gymnastics, wrestling, boxing, running, chariot racing, and actually music and poetry. And so it'd be similar to our Olympic games that are going on. And the Olympic games were actually started by Nero about AD 65 in Rome. And those are continuing on today, but it'd be a very similar type of thing, except this was in Greece. Typically the reward or the crown, you'll hear Paul talk about the corruptible crown. The crown would be either a wreath, a pine wreath, or a celery leaf wreath, or an olive branch wreath. And sometimes they could get a tax abatement, or even a poem written about them. And so that's kind of I think where Paul is getting his background for the Corinthian church is these Isthmian Games, run the race. Run the race, because that was a very, very important part of that city and their culture. And this race was a really big thing. And so we talk about, I'll get to that. Yeah, so I'll just go there. We talk about running the race, and we talk about laying all the things that beset us and laying off all these things. So when we're running a race, it's not just a jog, or it's a marathon. And then I'd like to give you a little history of the marathon. I think it would help us set up our besetting, maybe some of these besetting things apart from the things that are slowing us down or holding us back. Marathon, the term marathon came from back when Alexander the Great was conquering the Persian Empire. I don't know how much you know geography. He was trying to conquer the Persian Empire, and he was in a battle. Don't remember the name of the battle. He was almost had the battle. He was almost ready to win. And we have a messenger. We have people sitting on the outlines of the land along the coast watching. And this messenger by the name of Pheidippides was watching. And he saw the Persian vessel coming in, and it made an immediate turn and headed right straight toward Athens. So Athens was a large city, the capital city at that time. And so his concern was that they had almost won against the Persians. The Persian ship was going to go back and catch their and get their capital city when no one was there protecting it. And they were going to go in there and they're going to claim victory, and the city would fall because the Persian ship says, "Hey, victory, we won, and then it'd fall. So this man by the name of Pheidippides, he started running. He ran toward Athens, approximately about 150 miles. He ran this the entire distance to Athens, from Marathon to Athens, without stopping, discarding his weapons and everything he had as he went. He became more and more tired. He threw off everything that weighed him down. It said even his clothes. Till he got there, he had taken all his clothes off to make himself as light as possible to run the race. He broke into the middle of the city, the council, and said, "We won." And he died. That's a marathon. That's a race. This man had his eyes on one thing. He was set here. He was going there. And he didn't matter what happened, but he was throwing out anything and everything that would hold him back, that would keep him from getting to his goal, to the end. So now, that's a marathon. We're running a race. Let's liken it to a marathon. Anything that holds us down, anything that besets us, let's get rid of it. Let us examine it. Verse 24 here. It's just an interesting parallel there, if we would. "Know ye not that which run a race, all but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." So does that mean only one of us is going to win the prize? Think of what Apostle Paul is saying here. We're not competing against each other. What he's saying here is there's many, many of the people that start out running the race that don't make it to the finish line. That's what Apostle is telling us. We must run to get the prize. We turn to Philippians here after a bit, and we'll look at that prize. In verse 25, also saying in verse 24 there, and if a man, thinking about the marathon too there, in 2 Timothy 2:5 it says, "And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." So as when you think about, we're not competing against each other, there's laws. In the marathon, there's laws in the Olympics where you run, but there's rules you have to follow. And those rules are, you're not to hinder somebody else in their race, except we strive lawfully. Except we strive lawfully. In Hebrews 2:12-1, I'll go and read that again. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so glad a great a cloud of witnesses, let us aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Or sometimes with patience, I like to say joyful endurance. May we run with joyful endurance. Our brother So did such a good job of defining what some of those things are. And that is beautiful. And sometimes we forget that the things that we're beset with is common to man. And so sometimes it's hard for us to acknowledge them. That's common to man. We all have those things, some of those things. But we have to try to rise above them. That doesn't, just because everyone has those same things does not make it, that does not make it acceptable. It's not acceptable. Verse 25 says, "For every man that striveth for mastery is temperate." For every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. James says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." When we strive for mastery, we strive to overcome. We strive for mastery is to overcome and to be a master of something. And I think we can look at that when we look at these Isthmian games. To strive for mastery, be temperate. These people, when they train for running, they spent the last 2 years since the last games training for this thing. They had to deprive themselves of the things they like to eat. They had to deprive them things of them. They had to make themselves do things they didn't want to do in order to make themselves, in order for them to be able and fit to run the race. That is temperance, control, mastery. We have to have mastery over our bodies, mastery over our flesh. It's part of running the race. If we don't do that, we're not going to win the race. We're not going to be able to run the race. I think sometimes when I talk about running, I was going to mention this earlier, but you know, we have many places in the scriptures where it talks about walking with God. Enoch walked with God. And David, he talks about walking with God. And here I am talking about running. But I think when we're running with God, or when we're running the race, we are walking with God. I just want to bring that out. That just because we're running, we still walk with God. As we're running, we're walking with God. And I would like to say this. When we're running the race, and we come down to a walk, there's dangers. There's dangers in that. If we didn't prepare, if we weren't fit, if we aren't temperate, we are going to be distracted by things along the way. We will be distracted by the things, and our eyes aren't on the goal and the prize of running the race and finishing the race, enduring to the end. Verse 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air." We don't do it meaninglessly. We don't do it haphazardly, but we do it with purpose, passion, and integrity. Intentionally, we run the race with a purpose and passion. It's not for some useless. And that's why we run the race. We run a prize. It's intense. The race is intense. It's passionate. We have to be willing to suffer. There is a goal, a crown of eternal glory that does not vanish or deteriorate. Running the race. 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." There's our crown of glory. And Jesus said in Mark, he says, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." The kingdom of God is nearby. And then in Luke, I'll read the whole verse. It says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, or waiting for it to come. We're not here waiting for the kingdom of God.' He said this. Jesus said, 'Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" And that's the race. The kingdom of God is not, it's within you. And he wasn't speaking to a specific person. He was talking to them collectively. This is the church of God. It's the kingdom of God is the expression of his church. and each one of us are responsible to run that race, come together collectively, and we are the expression of the kingdom of God. And we can experience it. How much of it do we want to experience? How much fulfillment do we want to experience of it? Completely? I trust we do. And that is where I'm challenged in my own life. How bad do I want it? William Law says in that book he has, John Dee's quoted it numerous times, we're as spiritual as we want to be. So how bad do we want it? God expects us to be the expression of the kingdom of heaven. It's a tremendous privilege we have. It's a tremendous responsibility that we have to do that. Are we passionate about it? Verse 27, it says, "But if I keep my body under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Keeping his body under subjection. Back to temperance here again. Paul literally made that his body was the servant to his inner man. That's what that is. He made his body a servant to his inner man. The desires of his body were not going to rule over his entire self. That's mastery. When our inner self, our hearts, what we want, becomes a master to our body, our flesh. That was kind of a quick whiz through there, but I'd like to turn to Philippians 3:14 here. Pull a verse out of there. Common verse, heard many times. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Let's talk about press. I press. What does press mean? It's pushing, it's pressuring, stressing, emphasizing, squeezing, stressing, compacting. It's intentional. It's an effort that is exerted. Think about pressing your clothes. You press the wrinkles out. It's intentional and requires effort. The opposite of pressing into something. Before I go there, I'm going to put a word up here. Casualties. Y'all know what casualties are? It's unexpected accident, unexpected drama, unexpected... a lot of times we think about disaster, times of death. It's unexpected, right? Guess what word we see in casualties? It's the word casual. The opposite of pressing into something is casual. We can't run a race and be casual. We live in a society today that is casual. Everything they do is casual. And we're influenced by it. And if we're running that race, we're going to be guarded against casualness. Casual, when you have something casual, or casualty, when you're a victim of a casualty, you don't know it's going to happen. You don't want it to happen. You're not expecting it to happen. I can be driving down the road, and I lose the pickle off my hamburger, because I'm trying to do two things at once. I'm not focused on what I'm doing. And I reach down and pick up that pickle, and I have a casualty, potentially. Never expected it, didn't plan on it, thought I was doing anything right, but I became casual. I became careless. I wasn't watching what I was doing. I wasn't focused. I wasn't running the race. I was distracted. It's casual. Casual clothes. Clothes that fit anything for any occasion. It's fit anywhere, do anywhere, go anywhere. We have society around us is casual. It's not. It is the opposite of pressing into something. And it winds up in casualties. We didn't want a casualty, but casual winds up becoming a casualty. I can't say it always does, but I think it has potential to become a casualty. Something that we did not want. It's not the end we wanted, but it's the end we wound up with. I trust that we can somehow, I don't know, I think just the lack of discipline in my life, living a disciplined life, bringing our flesh, our inner man would have mastery over our flesh, that we could just be running the race with effort and wanting to reach the end goal. None of us want to be the victim of a casualty. None of us want to have that happen to us. It's just the lifestyle that we live, and it's all around us, and it affects us in ways that we don't even realize it is. So it's just a greater call to be intentional and passionate about what we're doing. So we looked at verse in Philippians here. It says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we press toward the mark. What mark? Mark is a label. To mark, it resembles something usually. A mark for the prize of, a mark of the high calling of God. We're pressing toward the likeness of God. That's our high calling. That's our God. That's what God has called us to. He has called us to be His people. He has called us to be the likeness of Christ. He has called us to that for a prize. Heaven is the reward, not the goal. That's not what we are living for. We are living to become. Our goal is to become like-minded with Christ. The likeness of the Son of God. We resemble the high calling. Matthew 24:13 says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We are his peculiar people, his chosen people, his sons and daughters, and we are the apple of his eye, and what I like to say, his darling church. We're running the race. And that's the most precious thing. Coming together in this way and having the likeness of Christ, each one of us having the likeness of Christ, is a tremendous expression of the kingdom of God. It's a tremendous expression if we're running the race with our eyes on the goal, the mark of Jesus Christ, the mark of the high calling of God, the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ, of God. So if we're running the race, we'll be passionate. I want to talk about passionate just a little bit. I've used that word. I mentioned earlier it's not used in the scriptures very much. But I want to say something about passionate because it's a word I like, and it's a word, and just because I like it doesn't make it right, but it's a word I think that we can use to what God expects out of His people. And when we are passionate about something, that is what our life revolves around. That is what our life revolves around. So my life should be revolving around is passion. I'd like to talk. Sometimes we're excited about things. We're excited about coming to church. We're excited about church. We're excited about Kingdom Discipleship meeting coming up. What's God going to have for us? We're excited about that. But the difference between excitement and passion, excitement goes like this. We're excited. Then you know what? Next week it may not be that way. Right? We get past it. We kind of lose our excitement. Passion is like that. And on it goes. It goes on and up. Passion, excitement is fleeting. And but passion makes itself felt day and night, all the time. It fuels our actions. It motivates us to go the extra mile while making something a reality. It shapes the vision that we work towards. Passion is sustainable. It's sustained enthusiasm. Passion begets passion. When you're around people that are passionate, It helps us. It helps us become more passionate. The best definition I have for passionate is you're passionate about something when you love it, even when it's difficult. So we are passionate about something when we love it, even when it's difficult. Excitement comes and goes. We're excited one day, the next day we're not. One time we're excited, the next time we're not. Passion is there with us all the way. And that is what I describe as running the race. Having that passion, even when things aren't going good, even when things are difficult, we have our eyes on the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. We have our eyes on that, and we're running the race, and we are we're running the race to win. We're running the race to endure to the end. We're going to make it to the end, and we're going to cast off everything we have, everything that slows us down. We're going to throw it off so we can run it to the end. And even if we collapse at the end, make it to the end. Endure to the end. How does that affect each one of us? I'm not getting very practical about this, but somehow or the other, we need to stir our hearts. I need to stir my own heart. And sometimes me up here talking, it's like getting something off your chest. You know, people talk about, you know, get something off your chest that makes you feel better. Well, sometimes I think it affects us that way too. If we can talk about being passionate to one another, what's it look like when we're compassionate? What does it look like when we're around people that are passionate about it? It's a dedication, an affection, a fervor, a zeal, diligence. It affects the way we think and what we do. What am I passionate about? What race am I running? What is my goal? What do my children say I'm passionate about? Where is my greatest desire to put my time, energy, and thought life into? Jesus said, "Know you not that I'm about my Father's business?" What about us? Are we about our Father's business? Am I about my Father's business? If we are actively running a race toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ, we will be both passionate and excited. And people around us will know it. They will see it. It's an expression of the kingdom of God. We do this collectively. It's an expression of the kingdom of God. And we want to experience it to its fullness. We want to experience it to its completeness. Its full manifestation of it. If the kingdom of God is in our midst, we will be both passionate and excited. Our families and our children, our brothers and sisters will become more important than ourselves. You will have a vision for the family, a vision for the church, and a kingdom of God vision. It will be your passion, your race. Your convictions will no longer be my convictions. They'll be convictions of the Holy Spirit. There won't be selfish things. It'll be for the kingdom of God. It'll be for the value of the kingdom of God. We will want to share what God is doing in our lives. We'll come up to our brothers. Brother, listen to this. Look what God did in my life today. Look what God did in my life this week. Share it. Express it. And then you can ask him, "Brother, what did God do in your life this week?" And nothing. Let's spur each other on. Pull each other along. This race, this is eternity. This race we're running is eternity. It's eternal. And I'm not here to say that we're not doing that. I'm here to stir our hearts and our minds, if we will, to provoke us to that. We'll live in a constant state of praise and reverence to God. We'll be seeking more holiness in our lives. And not just seeking it, but we'll be finding it. Jesus said, "Ask, and I will give unto you. Knock, and it shall be given unto you." More holiness in our lives, and we will be finding it. The world will know that we are His disciples by the love that we have for one another. How we relate to one another. We will not desire the lust in the flesh of the flesh and the pomp of this and the flash and the pomp of this world. We will serve something Jesus said. We will always serve something Jesus said. You cannot serve God and mammon. We have a passion for something. I believe each one of us have a passion for something. What is it? What's our lives revolve around? These are questions that are difficult. They're not so difficult. These are questions for me that are hard to be honest with myself. I'll put it that way. But I know what I want. How bad do I want it? Again, the Holy Spirit, we want to claim the Holy Spirit in our lives. It does one thing, life. The Holy Spirit is life, right? It grows. It expresses itself in many, many ways. It produces fruit. It produces leaves. It produces roots that dig down, that go down deep and in manifold ways, and roots itself deep for the storms and the winds and everything that beats it across it. The Christian life is not a philosophy. It's not a theory. It's not up for debate. It's a serious calling to which our whole existence should be consumed in. Today is the kingdom of God. It is here today. We are the expression of it, if we want to be. How bad do we want it? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is no higher calling. It's a tremendous privilege. Shouldn't we be excited? Shouldn't we be passionate about it? There's many Bible verses we could go to that just steers us toward that same direction. And when we look at the zeal of Apostle Paul and the things that he was jealous over the kingdom of God, I believe. Even if we go back and if you read the context there and 1 Corinthians 9 there we read, he wasn't really defending himself. I assume from the letter that he had a letter written to him where they were questioning his authority as a minister of God. And he was coming back with them. And then he ended up the chapter in this way. And I just love that when you look at the context there. I didn't read the whole chapter. We probably should have. He says, "Know ye not," he's coming back at them, "Know ye not, they which run in a race, all but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. So run that you may have it. And every man that striveth, every man that struggleth and trieth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown," referring to the Isthmian Games. They get a corruptible crown, but in James we read where it's an incorruptible crown. And then he says, "But we, an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." It's not without purpose. It's not without intention. It's not just to do it to say I did it. It's with purpose, and there's a reason. But I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself am bound, should be a castaway. Once again, his inner man is the master of his flesh. We have one chance to run, and it's about eternal life. What are we passionate about? I think about the martyrs who died because they had a passion for God. They had a passion for God. What about us? Are we willing to forsake all, forsake everything we have, even our own life, for God? It's a passion. And it's a running the race and enduring to the end, the very end. These things are, they're real. They're real to me. And it's something that I'm challenged with. We got to think together. The scriptures talk about together. Together, together, together. In unity and like-mindedness of Christ. Together we can become a greater expression. And we can run the race with more fervency. Determination. Intentional. It has to be intentional. We have to have a desire. Jesus said, "Blessed is a man that thirsteth, that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness. Blessed is the man that seeketh after these things, and wants to run the race to the completion, to the end." How is it affecting us? For me, and you. I have a poem I'd like to read here. I don't have a whole lot more here. I'd like to read this poem. It's one I found. It's a little hard to read, but I think you'll get the meaning of it here. It's called "The Race." "Quit. Give up. You're beaten," they shout and plead. "There's just too much against you now. This time you can't succeed. And as I start to hang my head in front of failure's face, my downward fall is broken by the memory of a race. And hope refills my weakened will as I recall that scene. For just the thought of that short race rejuvenates my being. A children's race, young boys, young men, how I remember well. Excitement, sure, but also fear. It wasn't hard to tell. They all lined up, so full of hope, each thought to win that race. Or tie for first, or if not that, at least take second place. Their fathers watched from off the side, each cheering for his son, and each boy hoped to show his dad that he would be the one. Think about our Heavenly Father here. The whistle blew, and off they went, the young hearts and hopes of fire, to win. To be the hero, there was each young boy's desire. One boy in particular, his dad was in the crowd, was running near the lead and thought, "My dad will be so proud." But as he speeded down the field across the shallow dip, the little boy who thought to win lost his step and slipped. Trying hard to catch himself, his hands flew out to brace, and mid the laughter of the crowd, he fell flat upon his face. So down he fell, and with him hope. He couldn't win it now. Embarrassed, sad, he only wished to disappear somehow. But as he fell, his dad stood up and showed his anxious face, which to the boy so clearly said, "Get up and run that race." He quickly rose, no damage done, behind a bit, that's all, and ran with all his mind and might to make up for his fall. So anxious to restore himself, to catch up and to win, his mind went faster than his legs. He slipped and fell again. He wished that he had quit before with one disgrace. "I'm hopeless as a runner now. I shouldn't try to race." But in the laughing crowd, he searched and found his father's face. That steady look that said again, "Get up and run that race." So he jumped up to try again, 10 yards behind the last. "I'm going to gain those yards," he thought. "I've got to run real fast." Exceeding everything he had, he regained 8 or 10, but trying so hard to catch the lead, he slipped and fell again. Defeat. He lay there silently, a teardrop from his eye. "There's no sense running anymore. Amid 3 strikes, I'm out and down. Why try?" The will to rise had disappeared. All hope had fled away. So far behind, so error prone, yet closer all the way. I've lost, so what's the use, he thought. "I'll live with my disgrace." But then he thought about his dad, who soon he'd have to face. "Get up," an echo sounded low. "Get up and take your place. You were not meant for failure here. Get up and run that race." With borrowed will, "Get up," it said. "You haven't lost it all, for winning is not more than this, to rise each time you fall." So up he rose to run once more. With new commit, he resolved that win or lose, at least he wouldn't quit. So far behind the others now, and the most he'd ever been, still he gave it all he had and ran as though to win. 3 times he'd fallen, stumbling. 3 times he'd rose again. Too far behind to hope to win, he still ran to the end. They cheered the winning runner as he crossed the first place, head high and proud. Happy and not falling, no disgrace. But when the fallen youngster crossed the line, the last place, the crowd gave him the greater cheer for finishing the race. And even though he came in last, with head bowed low and proud, you would have thought he had won the race to listen to the crowd. And to his dad, he sadly said, "I didn't do so well." "To me you won," his father said. "You rose each time you fell." And now when things seem dark and hard and difficult to face, the memory of that little boy helps me in my own race. For all of us, for all of life is like that race, with ups and downs and all, and all you have to do to win is rise each time you fall. "Quit. Give up, you're beaten," they still shout in my face. But another voice within me says, "Get up and run that race." Apostle Paul says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Brothers and sisters, let's remember what passion is. It's not excitement. It brings us through the low spots. It is something that we have in our heart that we want to achieve. It's the end goal. It's the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. It's Him. It's about God. Expression of His kingdom and expression of His glory. That's what we're called to be. And that's where we will find, like Brother Moses talks about, that's where we will find the peace and the joy in that. May God bless each one of you.